Good, because you know what? We all need the weekend. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And, you know, we talked a lot of wellness issues last night, and I thought, let's continue the conversation because I've been trying to get into better shape. You know, I've been doing CrossFit for the last couple of years. When I started training for the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb in 2015, I had the honor and pleasure of working with the incredible trainers and coaches at Doghouse CrossFit in Norwood Park over by there on Northwest Highway near Nagel. And joining me in studio, we have Courtney, Natalie, and Candace. And Candace does the nutrition, and I want to talk to her because our next guest is already in the studio. We have Warren C. Price, who is a hawk. Ah, it's a weird moment when you get in the elevator and there's a lot of screaming, like girls. I mean, Natalie, not that you're not you're a woman, but you were very excited to see Warren. Natalie, also one of the trainers at Doghouse. Warren asked Candace an interesting question before we even started, which was, how do you keep yourself from eating everything? And
my God, yes.
I think that's an excellent question for a lot of people. But to all of you, I think that's an important question because we need food for a lot of reasons. You know, people think, well, if I just don't eat as many calories, I'll get skinnier, don't they, Candace? They think, well, if I just eat 1,000 calories, I'll never gain any weight. Is that the case?
That is definitely the case, and I'm so excited because most of the people that have done our challenge or our nutrition coaching say that they're eating more and losing weight.
Right.
It's my favorite thing when people say that.
Because they're burning it.
Where do I sign up?
Yeah. Well, it's what you're eating is the difference,
exactly.
Too. So what are some of the best things? Because I wrote down, I have a lot of questions about what you should eat before a workout, right? People want to know that. Is it better to carb load? Should I be eating a lot of protein? Candace, what do you tell people as far as what they should eat before a workout?
I mean, in general, more protein and carbs are better before a workout. It sort of depends how you digest food and how you feel, how full you want to feel before you go into the workout. Throughout the day, balanced meals, the same thing we've always heard, right? Like fat, protein, carbs in a balanced way. But right around the workout window, mostly protein, mostly carbs is your best bet.
Mostly protein, mostly carbs? That's two things.
Yeah.
So they have to be mostly both things?
Sorry. Meaning the meal should be carbs and protein, not a lot of added fat.
Oh, gotcha.
Do you suggest prior to workouts?
I eat 2 hours about before working out.
Okay.
I think that works for most people. Okay. And then,
so if you wake up at 11 and you're going to work out at noon, you probably are going to be in a little bit of trouble.
What about?
I'm not saying we know anybody who does that.
Yeah. I mean, if you work out first thing in the morning, it's hard to eat. Before you go in. So liquid is better. You can digest it a little faster. So like a protein shake, maybe with a little bit of fruit, something like that would be ideal for those AM risers.
Okay.
So how many, Courtney, like do you have a certain schedule for like how you make sure you eat before, or just every day? Because you work out 7 days a week, don't you? Do you work out 7 days?
No.
Okay.
Back up, Patty.
I was gonna say I feel like you work out every day. No? How many days a week do you work out?
I rest usually on Thursdays and Sunday.
Usually on Thursdays and Sundays.
Are my rest days.
So you take 2 days off.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you guys would recommend, Natalie? Is how many days a week somebody should work out? Do you have like a minimum, maximum? Come closer to your microphone.
Sure. I think 2 days is good.
Taking 2 days off?
Yeah, I think so.
So is there a minimum number of days? Like, should you at least work out, get out and do something 3 days a week?
Yeah, we always recommend 3 days a week just to let your body sort of, you know, get used to the cycle and feel good. 3 days would be minimum.
Minimum.
You know,
I'm in trouble already this week.
We hope that our members are working out 3 to 5 days a week at least. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to go for, was always trying to get in 5 days a week, whether it was at Doghouse or on my own. But so you take 2 days off a week. Do you have a set like nutrition plan for yourself?
I do actually. I've been experimenting a little bit with the whole idea of lowering inflammation in the body.
Inflammation is like, explain what that is.
Think of the way your body responds. So an allergic reaction is technically, it's inflammation.
Right.
I'm not going that as far to say, like, you know, the foods that we eat are triggering allergic reactions inside the body, but think of, like, you know, just being bloated or carrying extra water weight or just feeling really run down. Inflammation can just really kind of drain our energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to make some adjustments with my own diet and just eating really clean. Us coaches, when we started the last nutrition challenge at Doghouse, we really buckled down and decided to, like, just kind of put the pedal to the floor and make some changes to our diet that were, like, things that we were kind of casual about prior, and you know, we really wanted to set a good example to our members. And so I find that when I eat more often throughout the day, and when I'm adding vegetables to my diet, which, you know, my biggest issue is being lazy about prepping. I mean, I have a toddler at home. I've got a lot going on. It's very, very easy to put that off.
Oh, sure.
And so prepping food, eating anywhere from, you know, 5 to 6 times throughout the day, not like big full meals every time, but it leaves me feeling awesome. I have way more energy all day long. And rather than that classic, you know, breakfast, like barely eat lunch, and then get home and all I can think about is like the super dog, you know, staring at me when I'm rounding the corner on Milwaukee.
Yeah, near Devon.
And Devon, yeah. So if
hold on, I turned your mic off for a little bit. You'd be surprised. Close to where? Go figure, I turned off Hawks. So, no, you can, close to what store? Over by...
Over by the dog...
By the doghouse.
The doghouse, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be even,
super dog.
Yeah. So
green relish.
So you try to avoid the temptations if you're already full, right?
Right. Yeah, if you're starving, your willpower is like zilch.
Right.
And so, and like, to answer your question earlier about, like, how do you not eat everything? Well, you have to set yourself up. Did you know at the grocery store, there's a reason that they put the tabloids and, like, the junk food right at the checkout? Like, this is, like, it's proven.
What?
Did you know?
Why? Now why?
Because you've already made 10,000 decisions and you have no ability to continue making good decisions. So you're drained of willpower.
Really?
The filter is open.
Well, I've also heard that the best way to shop is to try to avoid the aisles. Right. To just shop the peripheries.
Yeah,
so you've got the, because you have your produce, then you have your fresh meats, you have your dairy, you know, maybe some of your frozen foods, but even then you've stayed with foods that aren't processed, they're not artificial, that kind of stuff too, all fresh.
That's interesting.
You didn't realize that?
No.
How'd you get this far in life?
I go aisles, I snake.
Yeah.
I go right down the aisles.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that either. But, you know, now people are trying a lot of diets, and I just messaged Esmeralda tonight because I'm on a medication where I can't drink any alcohol. So I thought, well, Esmeralda's always talked about the Whole 30, and not always, Es, not like you're always so nice about it, but I know you've done it twice, right, Es?
I have. I did do it twice.
You've done it twice, and I think there's some really good stuff in there because you're not eating any sugar, you're not drinking any alcohol, you're not eating any dairy either. You eliminate a lot of stuff in your diet, and that does include, like, grains and things. That's the one thing that I'm a little bit iffy on is whether, because I eat oatmeal quite a bit. I love oatmeal with, like, some fruit, but I figure for 30 days. So what do you guys think about these, like, the, you know, whether it's a paleo diet or the keto diet or the Whole 30? Have you guys tried any of these, Candace?
I've tried all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Which one are you on now?
I think things like that are good, especially as a starting point to eliminate a lot of stuff that could be inflammatory or aggravating you, and just kind of a jump start, and then you sort of slowly add things back in to see what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best side is the one that you can do 80% of the time.
Oh, I like that. 80%.
Still,
I can shoot for 80.
Yeah.
that seems
still
manageable.
You know, look and feel how you want to feel. People always have this tendency to, like, oh, I'm going to go strict for 30 days, and maybe you can, and then you, like, go crazy that next week, right? Or you eat a ton before you start that strict diet, you know, and, like, that's not realistic. So what's the thing you can sort of do most of the time?
Right.
For, you know, the rest of your life is what I like to go for.
That makes sense. Natalie, have you tried any of these diets? Any of these, like, the Whole 30 or keto or paleo?
Sure, yeah. I've done paleo before, probably for, like, 2 years. And I agree with Candace. Like, I think it's great because it introduces you to, like, more whole foods, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not going through the grocery aisles and grabbing potato chips and candy bars, but you're trying to stick to real food. And all are great, I think, you know, but it's about finding what's going to work for you and what's realistic for your life. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, I've sort of found a balance now where I do eat, you know, I do eat some grains. I don't eat a whole lot of dairy, but maybe I love
really?
I love cheese. So every once in a while I'll throw that in, and I think it's about not feeling super guilty. You know, when you do eat a little cheese or you do have oatmeal, you know,
right.
It's about finding that balance.
But how many people do you have in your family living in the house?
A whole lot.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking right now. I was trying to remember if you were still living with folks because you're in the transition of remodeling, right?
Sure, yeah.
So how do you, because I sent Esmeralda a picture. I told my family I was doing this whole 30, no grains, no, mm-hmm. you know, no car, like cutting back on carbs. Didn't that plate look delicious of the food that my husband had prepared for him and Griffin?
I'm the wrong person to ask just because pasta isn't really my jam.
Oh my God. He made a huge mound of pasta plus like Italian slices of bread. And I was like, what are you doing? You know, I can't eat any of this stuff. So Ez said, you know, get some of that spaghetti squash mm-hmm. and you can put the sauce on there too. So how do you manage with so many people in your house that whether you're cooking for them or they're eating everything else, you just know you have a plan. Is that it?
Yeah. It helps that, most of us are on the same page, so
okay.
we try to make good decisions for the whole family and for our kids. And when you're eating well and feeling well, like people catch on to that. So my parents have sort of gravitated to that and sort of let us, my brother and I and my husband, handle the kitchen. So we try to plan meals for everyone in the house currently with our temporary living situation.
I bet you,
it's working out all right.
I'll bet you're at the doghouse more than you were before with so many people in the house. You're like, oh, look at the time. I gotta go.
I coach at noon. It's 9:30. I better go.
Courtney, have you found any one of these to be better for you? Or have you tried, I'm guessing you've tried paleo and keto and the whole 30 too?
I've done, like Candace said, I've tried pretty much everything. I'm doing kind of a fun hybrid of a little bit of everything right now. And it's exactly what Candace said. It's what works for you.
Yeah.
And what leaves you feeling good. You know, I think life is too short to not really mess with your diet. You know, think about it. If there's anything you're going to really invest your time and effort in, it ought to be your body, you know.
Oh, look at that.
But at the same time, you got to live a little too.
Yes.
I think life is too short to live off of chicken breast and broccoli, you know, so.
I'm addicted, by the way, to roasting my vegetables, like cauliflower
so
and broccoli
so
and
easy.
Just like a huge hunk of garlic, which my family's not really that thrilled with right now.
Yeah.
They're like, you can get away from me with all of that. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, when you are making sure that you're more aware when you try these diets out, you're very aware of the things that, you know, you have to, I think working away from what you can't have is probably the hardest thing. Oh, I can't have that. I can't have that. And you have to start looking for the things that you can have, so it's more exciting, like you mentioned, finding the things that you want.
Yeah, definitely focus on what you can have, and I think the language is really important. I was just talking about this at work, actually this week. I don't ever say I can't have that. I say like I don't want that.
Ooh.
Or like I choose to not have that. People at work get really weirded out that I eat vegetables all the time. I'm like, oh, can you have this cookie? I'm like, of course, I could do what I want, but I don't want that.
Oh, it's not that I can't, it's that I don't want it. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that you freak people out with vegetables. Let's freak people out some more when we come back. Let's stay healthy. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments for our guests. They are the trainers and coaches at Doghouse CrossFit. More information about that, too, when we come back on 720 WGN. So many Instagram accounts, Facebook pages, websites. Obviously, for decades, there have been workout videos. There have been all these ideas and suggestions on how to get in shape. And people always want to know, well, how do I just want to do an exercise that gets rid of my muffin top. I just want to do that one thing, and I'm not going to do all the other stuff. They just want to get a Kim Kardashian booty, and that's all they want. And so can you do that? Courtney from Doghouse CrossFit, are there specific exercises to get rid of just your back fat? Can you just do that? It was a deep breath and a long pause.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Do you get a lot of? Well, first you must get a lot of people who say, "I just want to get rid of this."
You know, we get a lot of people that have arrived at realizing that they're like, "Okay, I guess I'm gonna just go and walk in the doors there.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people that are thinking that think that they have to get in shape to do CrossFit before they come to the
Oh, yeah. CrossFit gym. That's not true at all. I was not in shape.
No, there's no such thing as a quick fix. Whether it pertains to your fitness or your diet, you got to work. And it's right. It requires consistency. And we're very honest. When someone walks in the door at Doghouse, I tell them that you're going to feel a little bit like a fish out of water here for like a couple months to where you're familiar with all the exercises and you can come in and just work and not feel like you're learning brand new things over and over again. But if someone's willing to embrace that challenge, like it's usually the fun part, you know, because when as an adult, have you ever been faced to learn something as complex as, you know, think of when you were a kid learning to ride your bike, you
right.
know, learning to do a barbell snatch or put together some multi-joint complex movements. It's hard.
It is.
It requires a lot of patience.
Well, I saw Natalie achieve something that you've been working at for a while. Tell us a little bit about that. What is it when you lift yourself up in the rings and you were so excited? How long did it take you to learn how to do that? Tell us what the move is first.
Today's the 1 week anniversary of her first ring muscle up.
A ring muscle up.
Okay. Yeah. And, that's sort of how I got inspired by CrossFit. I put that in my post. My brother showed me a video of this chick doing this awesome workout, and she was doing ring muscle ups, and I was like, I gotta do that. Like, that looks so cool. That looks so fun. He sort of led me over to Doghouse. It was probably the most inspirational thing that's ever hit me, you know, in my adult life. And like Court said, like, it's hard as an adult, as a mom, like, when do you ever do something that really challenges you day to day, that you're working on every single day and you're failing at and you're just continuously like trying to get better at? And I read an awesome article today that just speaks to that magnitude of how CrossFit does that for people. You know, it teaches you how to, you know, persevere through failure and just keep trying to attain that goal. And that's sort of what the muscle up did. And you know, sometimes it's like, okay, it shouldn't have taken me almost 5 years to attain this goal, but there were a couple I got pregnant, had a knee scope in the mix.
What?
So sort of set me back a little as far as that goal goes.
Sure.
But you know, it was so gratifying to finally achieve that, because it was just sort of what led me to CrossFit. So it sort of just brought everything sort of sort of back to the beginning for me. So yeah, I screamed like a maniac, and I like hesitated to post that video because of that.
That's great.
But I got a lot of good feedback on it, so I'm glad that, you know, if one person was inspired to do something that sort of scared them through that post, then I'm happy about it.
That's, you know, the fun thing about posting the videos on Instagram, and I'll post like my fails too. That's
absolutely.
Why I like, and I've had people tell me that they started working out because they saw that, like, you know, I struggle through at night, and then I have those small victories. You know, mm-hmm. For me, I love doing squats, like back squats or whatever. That's something that I, you know, whenever we, you know, I see that on the board, I'm like, okay, I can do that. That I can do. But it is great when there's something that I'm not a big fan of the snatch. That sounds weird to say. It's not what you think it means. It's an Olympic powerlifting move.
Okay.
But you can Google, don't Google that. You can't Google that, but just make sure you say Olympic lifting power snatch or whatever. It's also a lift. It's all bad. But Google ring muscle up so you can see what we're talking about. Or you can follow Doghouse on their Instagram account as well and see a lot of the different workouts. A lot of the people, not just the trainers that work out there, but a lot of like the clients. And I have a few videos that I've posted as well. Candace, was there one? Is there a challenge that you've been trying to achieve or sort of
that
reach?
Damn snatch you referred to?
Yeah.
No, it's strength. The strength stuff, the power, kind of moving fast with heavy weight is what I struggle with. The body weight stuff is a little bit easier for me.
Yeah, I have a real tough time on that, on the power snatch. Which ones will you try to land low, catch it low? Is it a power? Is it a full snatch?
Full snatch.
So I can't catch low. That's the thing. Like, I have to ride. I think you have always seen me have to ride what we call riding it down, right? When you catch it in the higher position and you kind of lower to the squat. That's something that I have to do every single time, because I'm terrified. It's partly fear, isn't it, for people?
Well, it's not even just fear. Your body has that inhibition because you're not super comfortable in that position yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's some prerequisites required to do that movement. well and be able to just get into an overhead squat fast. And so one of the cool things, too, is, you know, all of our workouts, and this is just CrossFit in general, is there's universal scalability. We can change up anything we're doing.
Exactly.
To kind of meet you where you're at. So please, it keeps you safe.
Google folks that are missing a limb and doing CrossFit. Like, there are people who are doing
adaptive
one arm.
Adaptive CrossFit. Yeah. There's
adaptive.
A whole community of adaptive CrossFitters.
Yeah.
Super inspiring.
Exactly. Let's take a break here. When we come back after the news, we'll talk about more about weightlifting and why you should incorporate it in part of your workout. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. 312-981-7200. This is the kind of music I like working out to. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a bit more of a classic rock girl. Sometimes there's music playing at the doghouse, and Courtney, you've heard me yell, "What did he say?" But you guys are working out. You're focused on something else. I, as you all know, am a little bit more cued into the music while I'm working out. That's why I do a little dance when I'm done. We're hanging out with the coaches and trainers from Doghouse CrossFit. Joining us are Courtney, Candace, and Natalie. And I wanted to ask you guys, because obviously when people go to your Facebook page or the Instagram account or when they look at my posts, they see a lot more of the posts are about weightlifting, powerlifting. Why is powerlifting and weightlifting such an important part of your workout? Courtney?
Well, weightlifting is a huge component of just fitness in general. Like, if you're trying to get stronger, if you're trying to be leaner, most people come in and it's like, I want to be more toned, is like the classic thing we hear all the time, you know, referring to just being maybe leaner. And when they do that, the first thing I do is I send them to Candace. because truthfully, where you're going to see the most change in your body composition is one of two things. Your diet is number one. Mm-hmm. And then second, you've got to build a body. And it doesn't mean like standing there doing a bunch of bicep curls, but just moving, right? Movement is everything. And overloading that movement, whether it's with a barbell or a kettlebell or lifting up your kids, like you're training your muscles in a way that your body is forced to grow.
Right.
And believe it or not, lean muscle mass usually ends up, you put some lean muscle mass on your body, you're going to end up changing your body composition, lowering your body fat percentage, and probably really liking how you're looking.
Yeah, and that makes a difference, too. I know that I have felt that. I have, in the CrossFit, sometimes had moments where I gain a little bit of weight. I don't know, you know, people can say it's the muscle, whatever. I think it's because I wasn't necessarily adjusting my diet as much, but I still kind of like the way I didn't feel badly about the way I looked for once. I think that's also something that I'm working with is, like, I've never looked in the mirror. I can't remember the last time I looked in the mirror, or even the first time or ever, thinking I like myself. Like, I remember in high school looking in the mirror and saying, oh, I hate my thighs or I hate my arms. And as you get older, it's partly, you know, whether it's the people around you saying something like, oh, you're putting on some weight, or, you know, you see things in magazines and you want to have long legs like somebody you see on the cover. And, you know, women in particular stand in front of the mirror and just hate themselves. And, you know, I feel good about myself. I told you I've never felt as good about myself as I have since I started working at Doghouse. And then when I post stuff, Natalie, I want to ask you about this, about deadlifts, right? People will see me do deadlifts and like, what good does that do? I don't see, what are you even working out there? Can you tell people what we're working on when we do a deadlift? Because I think that's one of the coolest moves.
Yeah, sure. I mean, your whole posterior chain, you're working, you know, your hamstrings, your glutes, your low back, all that are your strong muscles, and you're just making those stronger. The stronger your low back is, the, you know, more stable your core will be, and that's super important in staying safe and healthy in working out and keeping that regimen. So
it's a move that I'm not going to say anybody, but I mean, sure, a lot of people with
it's so
full,
practical.
It
yeah,
is.
You're going to always pick something up off the ground, you know, and
right,
to learn to do it safely and properly is ideal.
I agree. And one of the things I like was when one of the coaches at Doghouse sees someone post a picture of a food item. Candace, have you seen this where like someone will post a picture of, oh, no, I think Dom saw a bag of gummy bears over by one of the weightlifting areas. He's like, what garbage is this? Because there are people who think that if I just get a quick fix of sugar, that'll help me get through something, don't they, Candace?
Yeah, I mean, sugar feels good in that moment, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not best for the long term, though.
Right.
But it's like everything else. You should, you know, the less sugar you eat, the better. But be realistic about it and don't go overboard when you do have it. Kind of choose. I always like to think about it as, like, is it worth it? Are gummy bears worth it? Probably not. Like, they're not that great, right? So skip those.
I had a woman on a flight. I had a woman on a flight who offered me gummy bears, and I was like, no, thank you. She's like, no, come on, take one. And like, I felt like pressure. I don't even like gummy bears. And like, so I took one, and I was like, I don't. It was doubly not worth it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like them, and I had sugar. I was very angry. What do you think about, like, artificial sweeteners, though, too? People will think, well, if I have Diet Coke, that's okay. Or
yeah.
If I have aspartame.
I mean, they're not great for you, definitely. So avoiding all sort of like sodas would be the best. But again, it's like where, think about where you're starting from and what would be a little bit better than what you're doing yesterday. So if you're having 5 regular Cokes and tomorrow it's like 2 regular Cokes and a Diet Coke, no, that's not like great, but it's better than yesterday, right?
Oh, so, I like that. Better than yesterday.
Always get a little bit better every day is how I like to think about it.
That's, I think, incrementally is probably the best way to make changes, is like compare today to yesterday. Because we've talked about how on this show, it's not about what you've done, it's about what you're going to do. So if you've done better than yesterday, you've already improved. Courtney, what do you tell people who say, I can't? They just, like, flat out will say, I can't, whether it's on a move or just working out or a particular, you know, skill set. What do you tell people who say, I just can't?
I think the first thing is to talk about why. You know, where is that coming from? I think most folks, I have a chiropractor friend who's, we call him Dr. Jeff. He's up at Proactive Sport and Spine in Northbrook. He's great. You know, he was one of the first people that sat me down and was like, you know, Court, I think most people hate themselves to a certain degree.
I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I think a lot of us go throughout our day with a really negative mindset towards ourselves. And it could be coming from a, like, self-doubt. It could be coming from, you know, maybe feeling inadequate in a certain way, or like that I can't might be just, I'm just discouraged because I keep failing. And, you know, the whole idea, like Candace saying about get better every day, is you're going to fail sometimes. And from failure comes growth. It's a growth opportunity, you know. And so when someone comes to me and they're like, Court, I just can't do this, you know, my first, just being a coach, right, is just like being a teacher, you know, to encourage them and remind them you absolutely can.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you got to get down to the root of, well, where is that coming from?
Right. What voice is that?
Mm-hmm.
We have a listener who wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Tom, what do you want to say about sugar?
Yes, I'm having a hard time. I love the show, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, sure, Penny. I'm having a hard time beating sugar. Is there anything I can do to beat the sugar addiction? And I'm a guy, and I have a big rear end. So exercise? I don't know if it matters or not, but what exercises?
Well, let me ask you this.
For a guy, I don't know.
I think one. Let me try this, Candace, first. Tom, where do you eat your sugar? Are you eating, like, are you eating candy bars? Are you eating, you know, are you drinking it in your soda? Where are you getting?
Pastries, number one. Two, I love gummy bears.
There you go.
I'm crazy about them.
Have you ever tried any, like, dried fruit, like dried apricots or dried cranberries and things like that? And look at Courtney's like, that's not, those sound horrible. Don't tell people to try to substitute that.
Dates are good.
Dates and things like that. I'm sorry, Candace, do you have any suggestions for beating that sugar addiction?
I would say pick one of two things. One would be cold turkey, cut it. It's going to suck. It's going to feel like a drug withdrawal. And for a few days, but once you get past that hump, you'll feel way better. Or just cut it. Instead of 25 gummy bears, have 20 gummy bears, right? Like, and every day, a little bit less. It sort of depends what's going to work for your personality. Some people like to do the tough guy, like, oh, I'm going strict, not having anything. I think skipping sugar is one thing that applies to that might work.
Okay, I know when I have cracked the addiction, when I just don't desire it anymore after just going cold turkey or what?
Yeah, I mean, you will definitely want it less and less. And if you have real food that has sugar, like fruits, it will taste much better to you.
That's what I was suggesting.
Much sweeter, yeah.
That's what I was suggesting, like dried cranberries or dried cherries, because then you have that sort of chewy sensation of it, too.
Yeah, dry is a good kind of gateway to the real fruits. Dried fruit still has a ton of sugar in it.
Yeah.
I mean, fruit has sugar. So if that helps you kind of wean off of the gummy bears, go for it.
Okay.
Because they also have carnivore wax in them, just so you know. They don't just get some weird stuff.
You mean I can bring those to the shop and use them on cars?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
The other thing, too, is Tom, and since that's why I asked you what is it that you're eating that has all the sugar, is to be mindful of when you're eating. So like Candace said, if you have, you know, pay attention to how many you're having so that you know tomorrow, well, I'll have less than I had today.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we just eat mindlessly. We're just, you know, we'll just sort of pick up whatever's around, you walk in the kitchen, you grab something, you're not paying attention to it. Do you have, if you have an Android phone or even an iPhone, like I've been using, just to keep track of myself on my Android, I have like one of those Fit Buddy kind of things where you can just.
Yeah, my Fitness Pal is a good one.
Yeah.
It's free. You can track everything that you're eating and kind of see how much sugar you're having in a day.
Yep.
Ideally, you're having like 25 to 30 grams of sugar or less. Which is way lower than most people have in a day. So it's kind of like a rule of what to aim for.
All right, thank you. I didn't know that. 25, 30 grams.
Yeah, and and when you type in a food type that you're eating, it'll actually also, it has like this whole catalog. It'll pull it up. If you type in gummy bears, it already knows how many calories are in a handful, like in about 10, 20 of them.
Right, yep. Exactly.
You know, like if I type in, you know, sunflower seeds, it'll tell me how much fat, and it tells you all the breakdown of the nutrients. So it's really helpful to have one of those apps. And then there's also there's communities too. If you do like Weight Watchers, there's whole like online communities where then you know you're working with other people. So me and you and our big butts, we'll work it out. Sound good, Tom?
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course. Have a good night. When we come back, actually, let's talk about the nighttime. Let's talk about how sleep affects your workout and your health and your fitness. More after this on 720 WGN. A few minutes before midnight, your Central Savings. Is it Central Savings on CST? CDST? We're in Chicago, and it's nearly midnight. That's what I'm trying to say. And many of you should already be in bed. Maybe you're trying to get some rest, and you're trying to drift off to my show, in which case, I'm so sorry. We'll try to keep it down. I want to ask our guests from Doghouse CrossFit. We have the trainers Courtney, Candace, and Natalie in studio with us, and they've put up a new board of guide, kind of some information, some helpful tips at the box, as they call it. And Candace put up some information about how much sleep you should be aiming for and how much you should, what would be most beneficial. How does sleep affect your ability to stay fit, Courtney?
Your body works really hard when you're sleeping. All of the repairs that it does, you know, think of when you're sore after a workout, you've had a long day, you know, you're stressed. Like when you're sleeping, that's your body's time to literally repair itself. And if you're not sleeping, you're missing that. If anyone's ever been super sleep deprived, like they know, I know I have a toddler at home. When he was a newborn, I mean, I was on the verge of losing my mind for a long time. There's nothing quite like being sleep deprived, but I think when some of us sell ourselves short, you don't realize it all the time, but it's just, you just, maybe every couple nights, like you just totally hose yourself and get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep as opposed to maybe 7 or 8 hours. It really affects you. You know, it cranks your cortisol levels up, your hormones get out of whack, you know, your metabolism slows down, just everything's just, nothing's running hot. You know, you can do a lot of damage to your body.
There are people who are like, oh, I can go on just a couple hours of sleep. I'm gonna take a break here, and we'll find out why, you know, what you can do. Maybe there's some ways to help you go to sleep. My guess is if you work out 5 days a week, maybe you'll sleep better. More after this on 720 WG. We've been hanging out with our friends from Doghouse CrossFit. We want to thank Natalie, Candace, and Courtney for joining us. And Courtney, you do have some big news for folks who maybe Norwood Park's too far for them, Warren. You're like, oh, I'm going to Norwood Park. Where are you headed next? What's happening with Doghouse?
We're moving.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And where are you moving to?
5242 Elston.
5242 Elston. So I can't stay up at Norwood Park anymore. Now, is that Mayfair? What neighborhood is that?
Is it Jefferson
Park?
Glen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like right wedged in that, like, Jeff Park, North Mayfair kind of.
By the Blue sketch. Line, two metro lines, 90 and 94. Convenient for everyone.
Because,
and
by the way,
commercial is being covered by the dog.
And you can also get your driver's license. You can go to the Secretary of State.
True. Grocery shopping.
Get a new
mother
dog.
Mother Clucker's chicken. It's all right
there. What? There is a it, a shelter there. There's a dog shelter there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. You get a lot of stuff done there.
Well, our neighbors are... May I have this dance? It's a ballroom dance.
Now I know exactly where you are.
Really?
What building that's going to be in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very cool. And different facilities altogether than what you had. I mean, obviously, it's a different location, but different amenities for you, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. I don't want to talk about it because we're not done with everything yet.
It's going to be wonderful.
What's the website for everybody?
You can check it out. We don't have any details on the new space on the new website, but it's just doghousecrossfit.com.
Excellent. And yes?
We're pretty excited about it. We're going to have everything as far as changing rooms, mm-hmm. which... You know, to CrossFit gyms, and you mentioned it earlier, is we call the gym the box for a reason. I mean, it's like it's minimal equipment, nothing fancy. Like you can't go into a CrossFit gym and expect towel service.
No.
And so
it's a little bare bones.
To have changing rooms, a shower, a built-out kids area, like a front lobby section with.
There are a lot of kids at this CrossFit. I mean, I go there. Steve's worried I'm gonna come home wanting another baby. He's like, hey, do you have baby envy again? Jen DeSalvo in the newsroom. Jen, you got to come try Doghouse CrossFit with me sometime because I think you started after we did our recess there.
I am down. I will definitely come.
Because Ez was there. It's you know what? It's not as painful as fencing.
Well, I got to tell you, I like those individual sports where you're competing against yourself and trying to pass your own goals as opposed to getting poked with fencing sticks.
Well, except for right now, you guys are competing against a bunch of boxes around the country, aren't you?
Huh?
Well, I mean, there are other gyms fairly close by, but every gym is its own community.
Yeah.
When you look at the saturation of people, even in just like a 2 to 5 mile radius, we don't really look at it that way. Like, I have gym owners all in the Chicago area that we keep in touch with, that we talk. It's like we're our own community. It is competition in a sense, but like it's not. From
it's
a business standpoint, yeah, but no.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you again next month. For a little wellness checkup.
Wait.
Yeah, thank you. Don't forget to go to
doghousecrossfit.com
to get more information, or go to any of the boxes in your neighborhood to try out CrossFit. But the goal of our conversation is to get you on track for staying healthy. And again, that's why I always say, I hope you're happy, healthy, and safe tonight. And this is one of the things that we want to help you with. So get started. The thing about being in Chicago is that everybody's got to have a guy. I got a guy that'll take care of your plumbing. I got a guy that'll take care of your siding. You got to have a guy. You know, you have some. You know, every once in a while, you got to have a gal. You got to have a gal, too, all right? Everybody find yourself a gal. For now, we are going to turn to our car guy. Yeah, by the way, this is Patty Vasquez. I'm your host on WGN Radio. We are live in the All-Star Showcase Studio. All-Star. Also All-State. All-State has All-Stars, so I thought I'd just combine that. Warren Price from European and U.S. Auto Car Service. Wait, European and U.S. Car Service?
European and U.S. Car Service.
Also European and U.S. Auto Body.
European and U.S. Auto Body.
Also Euro-U.S. Auto.
Euro-U.S. Body.com.
Yeah, you got a lot of names.
Yeah, that's out there.
All right. So I guess it makes it easier to find you because as soon as you type in Google, European and U.S. Auto, you'll find Warren, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm there.
And Warren, you know, I've had, as you may know or not know, I've had a couple of dust-ups in my past when it comes to my car. One of the questions I want to ask you, this is not pertaining to any work that we've had done, but in the past, I've had a car totaled. And I was wondering what constitutes a car being totaled out?
Well, there's a number of ways cars can be totaled. There's a structural total.
Mm-hmm.
There's a water total. There's fire total. And then there's a numerical total. So of those four ways, that they're all related to the condition of the car and the year of the car.
And are there like different auto body shops that will decide if a car is total? Let's say it, you know, you're like, wow, I want a second opinion. I don't think my car is done yet.
Well, let's go there. Whose opinion is it
right
now? Who's paying for it? That's another thing. Like if the insurance company is paying for it, they're going to set the total value at a percentage.
Really?
Based on the value of the vehicle. Some insurance companies will say 60% to value. Some will say 70%. Some will say 80%. And some don't care, and they just run the bill up and
really
put the customer into a bad position, which is, I've seen, which there's person has a claim. It's a car's worth $17,000, and the car is $13,000 worth of repair. And the insurance company says, we're not going to total it because we don't want to pay the storage charges, administration fees. And so they jack the price of the actual cash value from 17 to 20. And then they fix the car, and the actual bill rolls up to 21. Now, this is where the real rough stuff comes in. They fix the car's fixed. The customer gets the car back. He goes to trade the car in. What does he get for the car?
What? 17? What?
10.
10?
Yes, because he's only going to get wholesale for the car. Now, he was totally manipulated by the insurance company. They didn't want to pay a shorter value, and they ended up paying more, and you've been without the car for 3 months. Now you trade it in because you don't want this bad apple anymore, and you get nothing for it. But here's the worst part.
You've been better off.
Here's the worst part. You owe $15,000 on it, and you're only getting $10 for it on a trade-in, so you're upside down $5,000.
Oh, and this is, by the way...
These are true stories.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling.
Manipulation from the insurance company.
Actually, there's a listener who has a question about that particular thing. Michael, what do you want to ask, Michael?
Well, what I wanted to ask is, you know, for example, I know the quality of European and U.S., and I've had an accident, and I wanted to bring my car there, yet my insurance company says to me, well, we'd rather you go to Peter, Paul, and Frank. And it becomes a point of contention. I'm a policyholder. I'm paying a premium. I should have freedom of choice. Yet I'm told to go somewhere else, and I won't go anywhere else.
Why do insurance companies sometimes send their customers to another car place? Maybe you got a car place that you trust. Do they do that?
First of all, they can try and steer you into that direction. Insurance companies do that for a lot of various reasons. One is cost control. One is that they want to make sure that they're getting as least the little money that they have to put into your car as possible with the poorest amount of quality merchandise to put on your car. They say they want to give you great, but they're only giving you fair to better. It's not even close to what you should get. In essence, you have the right in the state of Illinois. There's a law. You have to go anywhere you wish. You can pick your direction to travel. The insurance companies all want to control your destiny. There are some companies that have a program, which I thought was quite ridiculous when I heard about it, but it's still going on. And I'll never name these insurance companies because it's not right. But what they do is they say they have a concierge service. So they'll make you drive you're going to love this, everybody.
What was that?
You're going to love this. You live like at Lakeshore Drive and Addison, and they want you to drive to, Franklin Park to drop off your car at their center, and then you have to go back home and then come back and pick up your car and go back and forth. They don't pay for your gas. They don't pay for the 4 hours it took you to get there. Now, you pay for service from them. You buy a premium. They should run to your home, to the shop of your choice, and handle your repairs. But they ask you to, conveniently come to us, and then they send the car to a body shop that they pick.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, boy. It's not fair.
It feels like a bait and switch.
It's bait and switch. It's control. You lose your control. How can anyone just drive an hour from the city to go someplace to give someone their car, and then they send it to someone that they choose to fix the car?
I'm not sure what's happening with Michael. It sounds like you're in a wormhole. Like, sometimes it sounds windy.
No. Is that better?
Yes, it's a little better, yes. Was there another question or comment you had?
There is, and that is, you know, one of the things that I've witnessed is Warren will prepare an estimate, and again, we talk about quality of work and the quality of his technicians and his painters. It's there, and this is not an advertisement. This is a fact. Yet my insurance company will begin to negate the damages. They'll say instead of, 4 hours to repair a damaged panel, they want to pay two. Well, I know as the consumer, ultimately, I'm the one that's losing, as he eloquently explained, the loss of value after an accident. Well, the quality of the repair, it's timely, it's costly, yet they continue to mitigate their costs by reducing the proper repair procedures.
And I'd like to see what Warren has to say about that. I mean,
again, it's manipulation. It's that they want to make you do more for less. And at the end of the day, when your technician sees that he's going to get paid less money for doing a repair, his heart and soul and hands aren't in the repair, and you're not going to get the quality.
Yeah.
It just doesn't come out.
Right. It's disheartening. And as consumers, I think we need to collectively be educated, and that's why I'm grateful for his speaking and addressing this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Michael. Well, have a great night. We'll look forward to hearing from you again.
All right. Thank you both. Have a good night.
Thank
good
you,
night.
Too. What can people do to avoid? I mean, I guess they have to do the research when you're choosing an insurance company.
You have to choose an insurance company. This is hilarious. A guy came into the shop today. He had a 07 Lincoln MKX truck, and I walked in the shop and I saw the card there, and he pulled out his insurance card and he says, you know, can I get an estimate for my car? And I saw the name of his insurance company, and I said, well, sir, this is great, you have coverage, but the insurance company you have only pays like 50 cents on the dollar to get fixed.
Really?
He says, how much damage do you think I have? I said, you have at least $10,000 worth of damage in your car. He's no way. I said, well, sir, yes, you do. You know, I can just tell by looking at it. So we went out to his car, and I said, will your hood open? And he says, yes. So I opened his hood, and before I opened it, I said, you know, your headlight's busted. He says, oh, the light works. I said, oh, the light works, yeah, but the housing's cracked.
Right.
Once I take it apart, it's not going to go back together because the housing's going to disintegrate, and the only reason it's working is because the electrical connection is still connected.
So just dangling. Dangling the...
Yeah, you can't see that, but once I open it and take it apart, things are just going to fall down to the ground.
It's already shattered. So
it's shattered, yeah.
It's just dangling by the opening of the housing.
But the little wire's connected to the bulb.
So it works. Well, then tell the guy, well, then go ahead and drive.
No,
I'm just kidding.
I told him to get as much money as he can for the car and get rid of it because it's not worth... His car is a numerical total.
That's a painful moment.
He has 186,000 miles on this vehicle. It's an 07. It's got $10,000 worth of work on a car that's worth six.
Oh, no.
So he's...
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we're not saying bye-bye to you guys. 312-981-7200 if you have questions or comments for our car guy, Warren Price, is here. Warren C. Price. Warren C. Price?
Jay.
I've heard it both ways.
Well, it used to be Warren Zevon.
Oh, there you go. Matt is on hold. We'll get to his question first. But if you have a question or comment for Warren, give us a call. 312-981-7200. You can also find European and U.S. car service at EuroUSAutobody.com or 773-248-1200. More after this on 720 WGN. It's Car Chat. I can't say the other thing because I think that used to be a radio show on another station. Car Chat. We're doing Car Chat.
No, it was called something else.
It was called, as I'm saying. I'm saying Car Chat.
Car Chat.
I'm talking to the car guy, our car guy, Warren J. Price from European and U.S. car service over by there near Broadway and Irving on Broadway at 4080 North Broadway.
4080 North Broadway.
Look at that.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Lily. Hi, Claire. I forgot to say hello to you. My daughters.
Hi, Lily. Hi, Claire.
Love you.
That was a good daddy moment right there. Thank you for that. Matt had a question about a particular car. Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Patty. So, Hawk, let me ask you. You say hello to your daughters, but you don't say hello to your almost son?
It's Matt.
Matt who?
He's got a BMW.
Matt and his mom. It just makes a different talk.
What is this? Are we playing? Whose life is it? What are we playing?
Well, Matt works for me.
Uh oh.
Okay.
It's Matt Fisher.
Oh, hey, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hawk. You think I would miss Patty's show? No, I walk in the apartment and you're on the radio. I got a quick question for you. I unfortunately had some front end damage to the vehicle recently. When would be a good time to bring it into the shop?
Tomorrow morning.
We're doing specific calls. We're not doing service calls here.
Tomorrow morning.
Matt,
are you in tomorrow morning?
I'll be there at 7 a.m.
All right, I'll see you at 7:30. Thanks, Hawk. Love you, Patty.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's very true. All right. Glad we can take care of your business over here. Hey, Rich, what do you want to say?
Hi, Patty. This is Trucker Rich.
Hey, Trucker Rich.
I got a question.
Good.
I got a Ford F-150, and it's got all the stupid little bells and whistles on it. You know, like the little knob on a dashboard so you can back your pickup truck up to, with a trailer, as if you got to have a knob like that. You shouldn't be pulling a trailer anyway. But why don't they put dipsticks in them to check your transmission fluids anymore?
Oh, interesting and question.
Well, there's some.
You know, they got all.
There's,
they got all the other stupid stuff.
There, it's a couple reasons. One is they want to have you come back to the dealer-operated shops instead of going to independents. They want to, like, lock you in a little bit more. The manufacturers want to keep you for service. That's one reason. Another reason, it is basically a self-contained unit. You're never supposed to lose the fluid. So,
can he retrofit it?
I understand that.
Can he retrofit it with his own dipstick? Is there a way to get to it? No.
No. Okay. You cannot. You cannot. It's a. There's more electronics in cars today than ever. It's sad because when we're taking a car apart now, we're scanning literally. We're putting in a computer readout to find out what all systems are. Positive, negative, anything that's going on before we begin a repair. And then when we complete the repair, we see what we've done to the same systems because of the repair to see if we have to clear any codes and or send your car back to a dealer for programming, which increases every auto repair and claim ever. So to read your transmission, your computer on your dashboard is going to give you information. Even with oil changes, there's no way to, on a lot of cars, you can't just look at, pull the dipstick out anymore. You know, you have to depend on the dashboard and the lights working.
It's like, I'm an old guy, you know, I'm used to pulling a dipstick out. You know, taking a sniff, it's burnt. Let's go change the transmission fluid.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like to pull the dipstick out and smell the oil to see if it smells like gasoline.
What? Why would it smell like gasoline?
Because, here's what happens. When you start your car in the morning and it's cold, your fuel injection spits out, so you've got fuel, air, and gas exploding. Now, when it's cold, you're using much more fuel, and the fuel doesn't get burned. Where does it go?
Apparently it goes in your oil.
Right to the bottom of the engine it mixes in.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah, that's why you need frequent oil changes.
There you go.
Yeah, and the way the manufacturers are saying things to change your oil, what, at least every 7,500 miles now? I don't know. What Ford might be up to 15,000 miles for oil changes.
Yeah, my F-150 is like, it says in the owner's manual, 7,500.
7,500 for your car, okay.
Yeah, with...
synthetic?
What do you call it? Synthetic blend. And you can go to 10 with full synthetic.
Yeah, you can.
Which is pretty damn bizarre. I mean, that's half the life of the warranty.
I'm used to changing my oil every 3,000 miles.
Yeah. I don't put that many miles on my pickup truck. You know, I mean, I get... I live 3 miles away from work.
Well, when you're going backwards with that little button all the time, you know, you can't go very far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't even have to back up. I just grab a little knob on a dash and look at the little camera on the dashboard, and it tells me if I'm going to hit anything. You know, I need to get a hammer and break all that stuff and just go back to the old days. Sniff the oil for bad oil and taste it and see if you've got antifreeze in it.
Well, I kind of have a question because we have a Toyota Prius, a 2000 Toyota Prius.
2010.
I was thinking of an even number.
Light blue.
And the silver. But the, what do you call it? The tire light, the warning for the tire light is just stuck on. If you have a sensor that is just, it's just the fuse or the sensor is off, it's worth it to get it fixed, isn't it?
It's the sensor. Yes and no.
What do you mean? People get in my car and they're scared because they're like, "Well, something's
wrong
with the car."
It's nothing to be scared. I have got every light on the dash on my car.
So, yeah, but
but I know
that's not doing its job,
right? The TPC, the tire pressure control switch, which is in each tire, you need to find out which wheel it has. It could cost $125 just for that. I would always wait to see if I need tires,
right?
And then when they're taking off the tire, put on the new sensor.
Oh.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not losing air and you're getting a misread from a small device that's in a wheel, because your wheel is only rotating 25 million times a year, that little sensor, which is on the, it's at the end of the valve stem on the inside. That's moving, and it's about an inch and a half long, but it's kind of flexible.
So you're saying it's not worth spending $80
or $100
bucks?
It all depends on who you are. You want to spend the money? Go for it.
All right, then. Thank you, Rich. Did you have another question?
Patty,
yes.
Yeah, I can fix that so you don't scare your passengers for about 15 cents.
Piece of tape?
Yeah, no, just go out and buy a roll of black duct tape or black electrical tape and
put it over
cover up the light.
There you go. Thanks, Rich. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Be safe. Thank you. Let's take Curtis's call before we round out the segment. Hey, Curtis, what do you want to say?
Hi. I had a question about a 2008 Tahoe. I've got a 5.3 liter, and when I start it and it's cold, it smokes.
Whoa.
What color is the smoke?
It's oil smoke.
It's black.
No. It's blue.
Blue.
Oh, it's dark. It's dark. It's not white or gray. Okay.
No, it's light.
That's
oil. Gray. It's
oil.
So what I was thinking was valve guide seal.
Okay.
But the more I do research on it, I'm hearing about this active fuel management.
Well, active fuel management wouldn't have anything to do with the oil that's burning in your engine.
Well, the more I read about the active fuel management, I hear a lot of people saying that that's causing damage to the engine on these 5.3s.
Is there any
truth to that?
Let's say that it's so active that it's putting more fuel into the system as possible, which I was just talking about, where when I would change my oil and I would touch the oil off the dipstick and smell it to see if there's gasoline in it. When you have oil that's thin and it's not doing its maximum lubrication job, when it's distributing throughout the engine, running through your rings, your valves, it's not doing its job. Now, the valves get the oil last because they're all the way at the top. And if you're getting oil way up at the top and the oil's so thin and it's weak, it's breaking down and getting those valves too hot, and it's reducing the strength and shrinking the valve stem seals. Therefore, the oil is now leaking through there and being burned through the combustion chamber.
Okay, so ultimately I'm probably going to end up doing valve guide seals.
Possibly. How many miles do you have on this thing?
111,000.
That's not a lot of miles for that car.
I didn't think so either.
No, that thing could go a long time. And you know, if you're going to go through the effort, you know, you're going to at least get a picture of what it looks like inside the engine where the pistons are. Hopefully, you'll have no wear on the inside of the cylinders. But to do the heads, it's worth it to keep the car. That car can go for a long time. One of my first cars was an old Suburban.
Yep. Workhorses.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. It was yellow and brown back in 1973.
Oh, you poor thing.
Hey, it was fun.
Thank you so much, Curtis. Have a great night.
Thank you, Patty. Love your show.
Oh, appreciate that. Have a good night. Look forward to hearing from you again. Quick break. More after this on 720 WGN. Don't forget to check out European U.S. Auto Body over by there on Broadway 4080.
North Broadway.
4080. Right by Irving. Go to EuropeanUSAutobody.com or call
773-248-1200. 1200.
Has some of the best theater you will see anywhere in the country, and I haven't been to that much theater around the world, but I'm going to just argue that perhaps some of the best theater in the world. And the thing is that you always think of those big theaters downtown, and we've talked about this for several months now about how we've been starting Theater Thursday. We want to profile and highlight the theaters in the communities and let you know about some great productions that are going on. Tonight we're going to talk about the next big thing, grunge, the internet, autotune. It was all happening and about to happen in 1997 for 19-year-old Beth Peterson, shaking the dust off her small-town life to pursue a career in rock and roll. Is a dream come true? And the next big thing, audiences find out if Beth can navigate her new world and are witness to the harsh realities of the city, the industry, and adulthood. That's the description for the next big thing. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Carrie J. Sullivan, who's the playwright, and Robin Coffin, director. Hi, Robin. Hi. I did this earlier, and I was going to remember Carrie and Robin. The other way around, Robin, Carrie. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio, and I know it's pretty late. How you
That's
doing?
All right. Hey, good.
That's okay.
All right. So,
thanks for having us.
My pleasure. So, tell me. Okay, first of all, Carrie, you wrote this play. What is this based on? Personal experience or just something that came to you in the middle of the night?
God, it's always loaded. It is inspired by real life events.
Real? Come on, closer to your microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'll get right up.
I want people to hear you very well.
Okay.
There we go.
It is inspired by real life events. There's not like a one-to-one. Like
no, exactly. Like this, oh, this sounds a lot like
this
you.
This is what happened here, yes. There. But it's like sort of like, well, that happened to me, or I witnessed that happening, and then I kind of took it and maybe rotated it a little bit and inserted the nugget into the show.
Okay.
But it does have some. It is definitely very personal. I'll put it that way. It's definitely very personal to, you know, the protagonist in the show is from a small town in the Upper Peninsula, of which I am.
Of Michigan?
Correct.
I thought people know. I don't know if there's other peninsulas. Warren, there might be other peninsulas, right?
There's a peninsula. It's downtown. It's in a very expensive hotel.
Right there it is.
Some place that has, they've got great French bread downstairs. Yeah.
So the UP, like, what are we talking, like Iron Mountain? What are we talking?
Well, Escanaba.
Escanaba.
I like that name.
Yeah, thank you. I like it too. It is my hometown.
Is that a certain type of bread too?
It is not. It's actually it's purported to be the land of the white-tailed deer.
Okay.
Is what it's supposed to be. I believe it to be Potawatomi.
Okay.
But it's about an hour away from Iron Mountain. So.
I've driven through snowstorms to the UP.
Probably that's terrifying.
And you get there, and there's like on the street corners, there's like, you know, 15, 16 foot high piles of snow.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, this was just a dusting.
Yeah.
So I was in a motel, and my windows were covered because the snow was higher than the height of the motel.
Third floor?
No, but still, like,
no,
I was
some
like,
snow.
You,
some snow.
You start feeling claustrophobic.
Yeah. But everybody's really underwhelmed by it. They're
yes.
All, yeah, it's not alone today. Like, what, 12 inches? Like, it's all very, yeah.
It melts in about June. And then starts again in about October, is what it seems like.
It's something like that, yeah.
So I'm just laying it out for people who maybe aren't familiar with that, at least the climate of the UP.
Yeah.
But how big was your town that you grew up in?
It's about 12,000.
So you knew each other?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
a little close. It's cozy.
Yeah. If you don't like directly know each person, you're like one contact away. Like, so who's your dad? Okay, I know your dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that experience happened to you.
It actually happened tonight.
This evening.
No, really? At the show?
Someone came to the show, and when we mentioned that this lead character is from Escanaba, this girl went, she like freaked out in the audience, and Carrie met her during intermission and was like, who's your dad? I totally know your dad. Yeah. Like, it happened.
That's fantastic.
So,
yeah. And she's like, oh, I know your mom, Andrea. Oh, I know. Like, it all just, this world's colliding all over the place. And I had no idea, and she had no idea until she came to...
Wait, what are the chances? A town of 12,000, she goes to see a play.
Yeah.
That is exciting to know that your town is being kind of, you know, featured in a story. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is. And it's my... I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to sort of feature the UP altogether because it's sort of a place that's oft overlooked, I feel like. So, and it's a wonderful place to be from.
Because it's not quite, the thing is, it's confusing about it is that it's on the Wisconsin side.
Yes.
So people don't understand that they haven't reached Canada yet.
Right. or they think they're still in Wisconsin.
Yes.
It's how far is it from Canada?
It is
it's hard to say because you have a whole lake in between the UP and the Lake Superior.
So
if you go to Sault Ste. Marie, though, that's like 3 hours east, though. So it just sort of depends on which way.
And how well you swim. So it just depends on
all. Real cold water.
And real cold
Super
water.
Super cold water.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally, Robin?
I grew up in Downers Grove, Illinois.
Thank you for being specific.
You're welcome.
A lot of people will say in the suburban area.
Yeah, I know. The DG.
Yeah.
That's me.
The Tivoli Theater is really, really cool.
It is really cool. It's beautiful.
That. Well, I love that they do live performances as well as, obviously, the movies there. And the seats are very, very comfortable.
It was $1.75 to see a movie when I was a little kid.
Oh, my God.
She's younger than I am.
Well, the Pickwick was like that, but the Pickwick is in Park Ridge, so it's like one of those old vaudeville theaters, you
exactly.
know, with the great like sort of Art Deco and everything. I think we were $1, and then it went up to $1.75. So maybe I'm older than you, but that's okay.
That's okay.
That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the next big thing.
Yes.
So this is about that crossover moment between, you know, people were still buying CDs, right? Mm-hmm. They were moving away from. I still have my tape collection. I don't even know if I have.
As do I. And my entire CD collection.
As do I. Yes. Yes.
I've been trying to pare down. How about your VHS? You still have all your VHS?
I got a few.
Yes.
I definitely have a few. I've got Dead Poets Society.
Oh, Dead Poets Society all the way.
Awesome.
Hard Day's Night.
Aww. See, we have all these collections. What kind of music is Beth listening to as she's thinking about breaking into the business?
Basically, alternative rock in the 90s. What was on MTV?
Sure.
You know, because when you're from a place like Escanaba, you know, what I was exposed to was whatever was on heavy rotation on MTV and or on pop radio. Like,
right.
That was it. There was no, like, underground scene. It was like, if it wasn't, like, on a major label and played a lot, I didn't see it. Like,
right.
I had no idea. And I had no access to it. There was no, you know, before the internet and all that stuff, there was just no way to even be plugged into any kind of scene that might have been happening in a city like this.
Yeah. So, 120 minutes on MTV, and you would tape.
We would tape it.
You would tape the song off the radio, and you would always miss the beginning.
Right.
So it would pick up, like, mid-song, and then you'd have to wait for it to come back on to get the top of the song, you know? Yep.
But we would tape 120 minutes, because that came on at midnight on Sundays, which was obviously very late for a school night.
Sure.
I'm a responsible young lady.
Sure.
we could tell that.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we would...
You know, there's definitely a statute of limitations. No one's going to come after you for staying up late, wouldn't you?
Okay, thank you. But But I knew I
You're
couldn't.
Off the hook. Release the guilt.
I'm a sleep-loving girl. I could not stay up.
Rough.
I would be too... I can't function that way. So we would tape it, and then the next day, like Monday morning or Monday afternoon after school, then we'd go to like my friend's house, and then we'd watch the 120 minutes and see like, oh, what came on, you know? And that was sort of as close as we got to any kind of underground...
Right. Yeah, I was. That's what I love about this production, because you have this girl who's 19 years old, trying to figure out where she belongs in the world. Doesn't even quite know yet what's out there because she's still in this small town. Let's talk about that adventure. We're talking to the playwright of the next big thing, Carrie J. Sullivan, and the director of that play, Robin Kaufman. Coffin, sorry.
I mean,
I just saw Abby Hoffman, so I was just throwing everything together. That's Carrie J. Sullivan, who's written the play, and Robin Coffin, who is directing the play. Again, that's at the Factory Theater at 1623 West Howard Street. You can go to thefactorytheater.com. This play is running through April 21st. It's Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. Thing you should be going to see running through April 21st at the Factory Theater. We are talking to Carrie J. Sullivan, the playwright, and Robin Coffin, who is directing this production. And Robin, are you busy with doing Chicago Fire? I see that in part of your bio.
Yes, I am a recurring on Chicago Fire.
Excellent.
Yeah, I play Cindy Herman.
Cindy Herman, and what is her role on Chicago Fire?
I am the wife of a firefighter on the show. I play David Eigenberg's wife.
Oh.
He's Steve from Sex and the City, if you remember.
man.
That's what I always have to tell people, because I did the Fight Fair Climb the first year I did it. He had no team, and I couldn't find my team. So he's like, let's just climb together, right? And yeah. I was like, but he doesn't climb the stairs. He runs the stairs, and I was like, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
This is like
a fit dude.
Yes. He's a really fit dude. I was like, well, have fun with that. I ran like, I would tell people, because my first tower was only 8 minutes, 45 floors. It's because I started trying to run with him. I was like, hey, I'll see you again sometime.
Check you on the other side, dude.
Well, I'm going to give him a hard time because he tells me that my show's on too late. And I'm like, apparently not for your wife on your show. Apparently she can come do my show.
And I'm the one that has five kids.
Hello.
Yeah. So.
You look pretty good for five kids, lady.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What is it, what drew you to this production? Are you part of the Factory Theater as well?
I am. I've been an ensemble member for almost 6 years. Ironically enough, the day I auditioned for Chicago Fire, I was asked to be a member of the Factory Theater.
Oh, how lovely. What a great, that's a good day.
Great day.
Just checking a couple boxes there, aren't you? You're like, recurring role.
Yep.
Factory Theater member.
Yep.
That is a good.
Dream.
Excellent.
I actually read, we were just talking about this, I read a first draft of the show about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I love the story. It's very relatable. I was 19 in 1997, and ooh. I remember that time. You know, I remember how I felt and music, and everything was really exciting. And so it's a story that I think a lot of people can relate to, and it's a story about watching this young woman find her way in the big city and all of the things that are happening around her and the characters and the people. And I just love the story. And so.
And do you have a young person playing Beth who you have to, like, walk through all these things that she has no idea about of what it was like to be 19 in 1997?
Yeah, we have a couple people in the cast that we were like, so, hey, here's what 1997 was like, you know? Cell phones were different. Yeah. Discmans were all the rage, right?
Yeah.
So is that was
Iowa,
fun.
Is Iowa even a company anymore? AIWA? That was a brand of
I think so.
Of headphones that I had. I have not seen them in a long time. They did not make it the transition like Samsung did.
No.
Sony at least made some of the transition. But AWA, I didn't even know how to pronounce it. Iowa?
AWA? And speaking of headphones, one of the lovely actresses in the show, she was having a really hard time. We have her, she has headphones on, and she's like, they're not earbuds. I don't know what to do. How do I get these off of my head? I don't. It was hilarious.
How do I size it? Yeah, why is it so big?
It's really bulky. So, it's been a delightful experience sharing that time with them. You know,
because they hadn't been they might have been just born if.
Like
if,
one.
They were like one. But it was funny just kind of being like, so. You don't have a cell phone to pull out and fart around with. You're going to have, like, a book
or a magazine
or something. Like, but that was not... There was none of that. Put that away. Didn't exist. And even little things like, you know, like opening a cell phone and you have to press the talk button.
Right. And pull up the antenna.
And pull up the antenna.
Yeah, I had that phone.
The StarTAC, you know, the Motorola. Like, just little things that you're like, oh, that's so cute.
You're dorps.
Here's how you look.
Dorps.
Yeah,
dorps.
Yeah.
No hashtag yet.
How many performers do you have in the next big thing?
It's a cast of eight.
A cast of eight?
Yep.
And so the journey for Beth can we talk about whether or not she succeeds in leaving the town, or is this when she's getting to the town, leaving town?
I mean, we can say that, you know, it's a coming of age story.
Okay. Thank you.
It's very much about her finding herself and finding her own path in her own way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This part of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's really only the very first, like, tiny part of her path, you know, but I think it's probably her first big step outside of herself.
Right.
And, you know, outside of her home and really establishing her identity. Who is she without the trappings that she's used to having around her to identify herself? What do you do? How do you recalibrate who you are when nothing around you looks familiar anymore? You know?
Sure.
I think we've all had that. Some kind of experience like that in your life, you know, whether if it's going to college or you're moving away or whatever it is, there's that moment where you step outside of yourself and you're like, oh my God, who am I now? I have all these different mirrors around me. And it's that moment is what we're trying to crystallize and sort of explore and go on that journey. And I hope it, you know, conjures up those feelings for people watching it.
Right. I'm trying to remember at 19. I didn't do anything. I don't think I did anything new at 19. I should have. I was supposed to study abroad, Warren, but I was dating a boy. who told me he wouldn't wait for me.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah.
The boy. Yeah. We've all had that boy.
Let's call him Tom, because you know
I had a girl.
That's his name. Daniels. Huh? What?
Just saying.
I had a girl.
That dude, Tom.
We've
all had the Tom.
But at that point, but at 19, like, how much was it his fault? How much was his fault and how much was my fault, right? I mean, I continued a relationship with a guy who said that to me. And at 19, some women do and some women already have enough confidence and sense of self to go, all right, you can stay here. I'm going to go to Edinburgh or whatever.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted. They had really cool, like the schools all look like they were. No, it was, I think it was farther north in Scotland. I wanted to go to England and study abroad, but I never did. And there's something about taking chances that sounds like it's a wonderful adventure in this production.
Yeah.
About wanting to feeling compelled by something new in your life. We're talking to Carrie J. Sullivan, who's the playwright of The Next Big Thing and the director, Robin. Ah, I'm so sorry. Robin and Coffin. Robin Coffin. Let me just reset. Let me take a quick break here and more with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. By the way, this is at the Factory Theater. Go to thefactorytheater.com. It's at 1623 West Howard. See, all those words I can put together somehow. A Chicago gem, was founded in 1992, originally working out of a 50-seat storefront theater in Rogers Park. They have continued to thrive and grow, and now they have their latest production, which opens tonight, Friday night, The Next Big Thing, written by Carrie J. Sullivan and directed by Robin Coffin. Look at that. I did all the names and everything. I feel like a superstar. They shouldn't give me a microphone. It's really not.
Yes, they should.
You're awesome. I'm so excited about this production. I want to find out more about our guests. So Carrie, you said you grew up in the UP. What brought you to Chicago specifically? Was it theater, or was there something else that compelled you to join us here in our beautiful city?
It was music, and it was also just, this sounds hokey, but I always felt like if I could, like, live in Chicago and make a living coming from where I came from, that would just be, like, that would be an accomplishment. That would be amazing.
What did your folks do, if I might ask, to make a living up in the UP? In Escanaba.
They did whatever they had to do.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad, he owned his own business for a long time, and then that kind of went under when there was the recession in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He then worked a lot of odd jobs. He ended up working at Walmart for a long time. My mom worked the morning shift, drive-through at McDonald's. She worked at Shakey's. Like, they worked the jobs that they had to work to help us, you know, to put a roof over our heads.
So you watched your parents kind of doing whatever it took to make things happen.
1,000%, absolutely.
And what kind of work did you end up doing when you first moved to Chicago?
Oh God!
Right, it sounds like you probably followed your, like, just whatever it took, right?
Yeah, I mean, my first job was actually I was a line cook in a restaurant down here, and then I was like a salesperson at an antique store. I worked in ticketing over at Jam Theatricals for a little while, and then I ended up falling into real estate, administrative work, which is actually the work I still do today.
That's
sort of like where I found my calling. I'm an office manager, and that's the day job that I do now.
Wow, who would have thought?
Yeah, it's crazy, but it
worked out.
It ended up actually working out, and it's a really great job.
And so how did you get involved with the Factory Theater now that you're one of the members there?
I was fooled.
By whom?
I was hoodwinked. I was actually
cajoled.
It was when I was working at Jam Theatricals, which is a part of Jam Productions, right? It's like sort of like their theatrical branch.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up getting a job there by happenstance, and I met a young lady named Angelina Martinez, who is a Factory member now. She was not at the time. She was doing a show for another theater company called High Volt Theater, who's no longer around, and they needed a stage manager for a show that they were doing. And just based on my personality, she was like, I think Carrie would be a great stage manager. Hey, Carrie, would you like to stage manage the show? It had like four cues, and I was like, oh, sure. What do I do? Because I had never done it before, and I went and did this show, and then I just met all these other people, and I just kind of ended up meeting my family. I mean, a lot of the people that were working on that first show are now factory people. It was like Angelina, Manny Tamayo, I had Eric Roach, Heather Tell, like all these people that are now my found family. It was just kind of my inroad to finding like my people here. And it's like theater, like anything else. Like you get the bug and it's like, that's it. And then I did a factory show and it blew my mind. The incredible quality of the show that they put up, which was called Among the Dead. No, it wasn't Among the Dead. It was. I'm spacing on this because I'm tired.
I didn't mean to quiz you. This was not meant to be a stressful situation for you.
But it was a fantastic show. It was like in 2000. No, it was Among the Dead. Ryan Oliver wrote it. It was back.
Yeah, it was
in
Among
2000.
The Dead.
Was it Among the Dead?
Yes, sorry, you are correct.
I'm sleepy. It was like 2001, and I met everybody, and it was like. There's no other way to say this, but I'm just going to say this. My expectations were very low because I was like, well, you guys write your own stuff, so how good could it be? I'll just work on the show because I'm working with a friend of mine. And then I saw the show, and it was awesome.
Wow.
And I realized that, you know, I needed to take my judgy pants off and realize that original theater, it can be extraordinary. And I just got the bug for that original theater.
Did you find the open-minded pants fit better?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. So much more room to breathe.
One size fits most.
Oh, my God. I recommend everybody try them on.
Yeah. Everyone put on your open-minded pants. If we can all
those judgy pants. Throw them away.
Give them a shot.
Put a tolerance t-shirt on. I think we'll all be in good shape.
Totally. Way more flattering.
Oh, so much more flattering to everybody involved.
And not just in black, either. No, right. I'm in multicolored.
All the colors.
Yeah, she's all right. The colors.
I agree with that. Yeah. I love that story. Were you a playwright before? Had you written anything before you became a member of the Factory Theater?
No, not before I was a member. No, I wrote like one act a couple years ago for the Abbie Hoffman Died for Our Sins Festival, which Robin also directed, long time festival that ran over at Angel Island, and it was something that was curated by Rich Katovsky forever, for like 30-odd years or whatever. And so,
hold on one second. Warren's having an issue. Warren, come over here for a second. Do me a favor. Put your hands up above your head. Don't cough up while that's so low. Just go back in the other room. But put your hands up to clear your windpipes. I feel badly. I can't have somebody in my studio like coughing and like, I'm worried about his health. Yeah. Even though you're on Chicago Fire and married to a pretend fireman,
I would have absolutely no idea how to help Warren. I wouldn't know what to do.
Not trained in those skills.
Nope.
So, Robin,
yes.
So you grew up in Downers Grove. Were you always interested in theater and performing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was 10, I was like, hey, family, this is what I'm going to do. And they all went, great.
We were in the middle of dinner. Could you leave us alone?
Yeah, could you leave us alone? And I don't know that we have the funds to back you for the rest of your life, daughter. It was just the thing that I always wanted to do. And in high school, I went into speech team and did all the shows. And then I went to College of DuPage, and then I went to Columbia College downtown. And then I moved to Seattle for a little while, and that was a great idea.
If you're in theater.
Well, I decided to leave for a little while and marry someone. And
see? You had a guy.
I had a guy.
All right.
And then I came back almost 9 years ago, and I was actually working at a restaurant, and a lovely fella named Tim Amos came up to me while we were polishing silverware at 10 a.m. one morning, and he said, are you funny? And I said, yeah.
Are you funny?
Yeah, are you funny?
By the way, there is Nick D right over there behind you, just running through the production booth. Just
want to
point out that I didn't know they were going to be on your show next week. I wouldn't have stolen them if I'd known that they were going to be on your
Sharing is caring.
I couldn't. Oh, all right, Warren, I'll let you go if you need to run. Go to European and U.S. Auto Body.
You guys are doing my show next week.
Yes, so
I'm not.
Yeah, there you go.
Nick, I will be on your show.
Yes, Robin will be on your show.
With Scott Oken.
Yes.
Oken?
Yes. I felt badly because I'm like, I didn't know that they're on Nick's show next week, so I'll make sure to ask different questions.
Friends share stuff, right?
Yes, we do. We share stuff, yeah.
We do.
I knew that I couldn't let him walk into the production booth and not let him know that you were here. Of course! Why wouldn't I? Here, let me take a quick break so you can go say hi. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. Not a guy. newest production is The Next Big Thing, running through April 21st. They're opening tonight, Friday night. You can go to thefactorytheater.com. The theater is located at 1623 West Howard. The show is on Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. Sundays at 3 p.m. We have the playwright Carrie J. Sullivan in the studio with us, and the director Robin Coffin joins us as well. We're learning a little bit about their careers and their background, but I have a question for them, and also for James, who's in studio. James has, I haven't thrown you on the microphone before. Why can't I throw you? I can't throw you on the microphone. Okay, don't get on. You know what? I'll warm you up to it. I'll turn your mic off and warm you up to this idea, because I have something that my boss sent me, and I'm kind of curious about this, because do you guys get a chance to travel very often? No, Rob. I'm going to go with no for Carrie right there. No, Carrie?
Not as often as I would like.
Not as often. Both. No. Neither one of you? Is it partly because of work that you don't get to travel?
I'm mainly an actor, so, you know, especially with Chicago Fire, my schedule is just so crazy.
That's true.
You know? It's kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, you have an audition, and if you book it, it's like tomorrow. So life is just hard to plan, but...
I can imagine. And so if I did this for you, if I asked you your astrological sign and then told you where you should go, would that start you off?
Sure.
There's an article about where to travel in 2018 based on your zodiac sign. So I think this is less of like a real match, whereas it's more of like trying to get people to go someplace. So let me ask you first, Carrie, what's your sign?
Well, first of all, I just have to tell you.
Do you know your sign? Some people don't know their signs.
I do. No, I totally do. But I just...
You don't know how weird this is.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing about signs in the show, and I know you don't even know that.
I did not know that.
It's really, really strange that this is happening right now. And there's a whole reference in the show. There's like three times that we talked about how the moon is in Pisces.
Yeah.
And the moon is in Pisces right now.
Come on.
So super weird.
Yeah.
I never even do these lists. Yeah. I just looked at this and I'm like, I want to keep you around for another segment. And I got greedy. And I just thought I'd do this sign thing. Do we know what Beth's sign is in the play?
She's a Pisces.
She's a Pisces.
Oh, is that why she's all like, what, let me find that. What time of the year is that one?
Her birthday's February 21st. I had already decided that for her.
You'd already decided?
February, March.
All right, let me find Pisces. I've got all these. It's very hard to scroll through all of these, and of course, it's going to be the last one. Okay. Sorry. Asheville, North Carolina, which kind of makes some sense because, does it not for Beth?
Maybe.
Maybe because it would be out of her comfort zone. Fresh air and wide open spaces will be most appealing to Pisces this year. So it's more about, see, that's the thing. It's more about 2018 than it is about 1997
right.
for her.
Beth right. now mm-hmm. is very different from Beth.
That's
now.
Right. Maybe.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe Beth, when we visit her later in life, maybe Asheville, North Carolina is a place for her,
totally.
Providing the best place for an escape that includes physical activities along with spending time in nature, camp or hike in the picturesque Pisgah National Forest. I'm sure that's the way you say it because I've heard it every single way possible. Pisgah National Forest. Explore the small city's growing craft beer scene and find your spirit animal at Western North Carolina Nature Center.
She'd be into that.
A vibrant arts community filled with galleries and studios also make this little town in the Blue Ridge Mountains a great spot for Pisces to discover a newfound sense of freedom and optimism.
I feel better already.
Interesting.
And I'm not even a Pisces.
Me neither.
But you're feeling it through Beth a little bit.
I am.
The character in this.
Yeah.
All right. So what is your sign?
I am an Aquarius.
So, and what time of the year is that? I got it. January through February.
Yes.
Right?
I'm February 3rd.
February 3rd. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Oh. As opposed to the other Philadelphias, by the way.
Yes. Well,
the one in Pennsylvania.
The one that's sweeping the nation.
That's the one.
The other one.
Finding the right balance between me and we. Will be the focal point of the year for Aquarius, who needs both independence and the company of others to be content. Philadelphia, with its appeal to solo travelers, couples, and friends alike, is an ideal retreat for this sign to get exactly what it needs. Get lost in Philly's historical roots by visiting landmarks like Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell, or by checking out other iconic institutions like Reading Terminal Market and Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Looks like I'm going to Philadelphia.
I went last summer. I decided I was going to go. No, it was 2016 because it was also the same year as the election, and my son wanted to go before Trump became possibly president. Mm. So he wanted to go there.
We all wanted to go somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere. But I have to say, great food, great people. The most amazing museums. Do you have kids?
I do not.
You don't have kids. It's good for anybody. It's
I've heard it's actually a really cool place.
It's one of my favorite places. I'm a history dork, so the Science of Benjamin Franklin Museum, all of it's really fantastic. If you've
That's
never
awesome.
Been, I highly recommend that.
It sounds like I need to book a trip tonight.
I'm just saying. Oh, yeah. I think you need to go. Go to Philadelphia. It's not that bad. And around your schedule, you might even be able to go and come back. I would say you could do it in 3 days.
Okay.
Three full days.
Maybe I'll buy myself a trip for opening this show.
Okay. You earned it. We stay right across from City Hall. We stay at like the Residence Inn right across from City Hall in Philadelphia.
Nice.
It was really, really cool. It's a beautiful old building. Okay. Nice. What's Carrie? What's your sign?
Cancer.
And that's in the summertime, right?
Yes, it's July. July 20th.
It's a crap. Well, you don't have to give me your day. I feel badly that you guys gave me your birthday.
I didn't give you my year or anything.
we won't discuss that portion.
I have a feeling you're going to like this one. I don't know if you've been there. You had a chance to go to New Orleans, Louisiana.
I have.
See, I thought so. I kind of got that vibe from you that you've been to New Orleans. But that's the spot that I picked for you. No sign is destined to have more fun this year than cancer, with happiness at their door all year round. Do you feel like that's in your... you're opening your play at the Factory Theater,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just nuts. Like, but now when you say it, it's like, oh, no, you said it.
You know.
It's like...
I'm not going to give you... You know what? Just I take it back. I take it all back.
Okay, thank you.
Forgot to erase
it. Negative Nelly. We're just putting it out there.
Take advantage of the good vibes and carefree attitude by planning a trip to New Orleans, a city that offers fun in every way manageable. Throw back drinks until the sun comes up on Bourbon Street. Eat the best donuts in the world. Go to Cafe Du Monde.
Oh, I've been there.
See, incredible. I've never been to New Orleans. I think I'll go with you.
It's fun.
Oh, my gosh.
We could totally do that.
Let's skip Philadelphia for you, Robin, and just go down to New Orleans with Carrie. I'm just saying.
Can I cheat? Can I jump on your trip?
Absolutely.
Did you go to Preservation Hall and see live jazz? Incredible live jazz?
I did not. I was there for an extended weekend, so we kind of just really did the high points of just like Bourbon Street, Cafe Du Monde, and whatever else that we did when I was blacked out. And it was
after
fun.
It was, exactly.
It was like, yeah, that was fun. And then we're back. It was a very quick trip.
But you didn't do the alligator tours in the swamps?
No.
That's one of the suggestions here. And eat oysters in a place where the world is all yours.
I did eat oysters.
I actually, when I lived in Seattle, I worked for Starbucks. And they sent 10,000 managers, I was a manager at the time, to New Orleans.
And you went to, we've gone to New Orleans too?
Yes, I did community service there. It was after Hurricane Katrina.
We helped rebuild
the city and got very intoxicated along the way.
It seems like you don't even have to drink anything to be intoxicated.
So you just step foot.
It just kind of happens there.
Insta-drunk.
Insta-drunk. So, James, have any of these signs been yours? Has Pisces Cancer?
Nope.
James, what is your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
You're a Taurus, which is what part of the year?
May.
So I have to go back.
It's like my husband.
I think you might enjoy this. Napa Valley, California is where
it's some wine.
Let's go with James.
Yes. If you're a bull, start getting your wine palate ready. A year of change that likely means good things for your love life will be ramping up in the coming months, and Wine Country will welcome you with open arms and bottles. There you go.
Yeah.
With an abundance of serene environments and bold flavors. This West Coast destination that prides itself on laid-back luxury will provide tourists with chances to experience winery tours, tastings, spa days, and high-end restaurants that will meet or even exceed this sign's refined tastes.
Mm. Oh,
so
refined taste.
Refined.
Cassara?
James. Yeah.
What's your? I want to see where you should go.
Where I should?
Oh, what's your sign? Can you tell me your astrological sign?
Virgo.
You're a Virgo. She's like, I don't want to know.
Virgin.
I don't want to know. You don't want to know where you should go?
I mean, throw it at me.
It's
the worst thing that happened.
You're gonna hate this one.
Oh, great.
You know what? You're not going anywhere.
The state?
Oh, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, how about that?
Yay.
I did something.
Woo!
I did it right. Perfect.
Chicago, Illinois, over this next cycle around the sun, Virgo will crave time away from the mundane and look for experiences away from home. But given Virgo's systematic approach to life and need for detail, does that sound like you?
Yeah, definitely.
A trip to Chicago would do wonders for this logical sign in a city that offers endless opportunities to see art, visit museums, and eat any kind of cuisine. A Virgo can appreciate every little nuance that calls this Midwest hub home, whether it's visiting Millennium Park, Magnificent Mile, the Art Institute, or even What sound did I just make?
I got oh, no.
I saw the next word. I read ahead
a little bit.
I read ahead and saw this, or grab a beer at Goose Island Brewery. That's the
very
I
nice.
Swallowed my own tongue there just thinking about it.
Very nice.
You'll enjoy a trip to Chicago, beginning with the task of simply planning it out. Esmeralda, what's your astrological sign?
I'm an Aries.
Aries? And what time of the year is that?
April 8th.
April 8th. I have to scroll back. That's why I need to know the dates, because it's like it's only on my phone. Aries, you should go. I kind of like this for you, Ez. You should go to Cape Cod.
Oh,
very fancy.
I
want to
go all these other places.
Yeah, I want to go. Well, I get left here.
Who's in the window? That looks very. Whoever it is that Rick Pearson? Let me take
it's
a break
Rick
here.
Pearson.
Let's take a break here, and we'll find out where Rick Pearson should go and read the rest of why Esmeralda should go to Cape Cod. If you have not heard your astrological sign, I will take your calls 312-981-7200. If you are not an Aries, Cancer, Pisces, Taurus, Virgo, or I think that's everybody, right? Aquarius. Give us a call 312-981-7200. Tell us your sign. If we've already read your sign, I will go back and just tell you the city. Can I tell you, Rick Pearson is in the studio with us. You know the night we got the most phone calls ever? Scott Santas had done a piece about how his name was never very popular in the United States Census. So we just had people call and tell us their name. And my producer at the time had to look up how popular their name had been throughout that year. So that was the most popular night of phone calls we ever got.
Really?
What's your name? So tonight we're doing What's Your Sign? Tell Ez why she needs to go to Cape Cod. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio with our friends from the Factory Theater, Carrie J. Sullivan, the playwright of the new play, The Next Big Thing, which opens tonight, Friday night, directed by Robin Coffin. And we are talking about where you should go based on your astrological signs. We have Cheryl on hold. We're going to get to her sign next. But Ez, does Cape Cod sound like someplace you would just be like, I've got to go to Cape Cod?
I actually was thinking, my boyfriend has a brother in Boston, and we had visited a year or two ago, and I was thinking that we should go back, but we should do like a road trip along the coast.
See?
So that would actually work out very well.
Well, you should go there this year because Independent Aries, and this is you, by the way, Independent Aries, will find strength and comfort in spending time with others, whether it's romantic in nature or simply enjoying quality time with friends. A low-key trip with a focus on soul-searching and making memories with others is exactly what any Aries will need and find on the Cape, with opportunities for relaxing on one of its many beaches, taking a day trip to Martha's Vineyards, or enjoying intimate cocktails and dinners. This mellow seaside town will give Aries a welcome boost of energy and passion that makes this ambitious sign thrive.
Ooh.
Wow.
I like it.
Wow.
I know. Do you like
intimate
how
we're cocktails?
Wow. All of a sudden, Rick Pearson.
Wow.
And now you have to wait till July, though, by the time the snow melts. Even
oh, yeah.
There. I mean,
I think you've got the Chamber of Commerce commercial down there.
Well, I've been doing all these. You said that you are a Cancer, and New Orleans is your destination, by the way.
Cancers unite, my friend.
Well, I will tell you, New Orleans, you cannot go better than New Orleans.
It's awesome.
And one of my trivias is, after all the politics and everything else, is cooking. And
by the way, that's Rick Pearson. I introduce you. I apologize, everybody. Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune, political reporter, knee deep in politics, which sounds is the same thing as being knee deep in BS. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Get your waiters on.
And why don't we talk BS and cooking? That is not a good combination.
Sorry about that.
No, but that is my true hobby, is cooking. And Paul Prudhomme's Louisiana Kitchen, it was like Julia Child's 1957 Art of French Cooking. The Cajun cooking is fantastic. Went down there for the Republican convention in 1988.
Uh-huh.
And I went there with my boss to Cape Paul's restaurant. And the waiter comes by, we're enjoying dinner, waiter comes by and says, would you like a copy of the chef's book? And I said, I already have one, but if the chef is here, I would love to have an autographed copy of the book. And he goes, let me go check. And he goes, where are you from? And I said, Chicago. And He goes, well, let me come back. And he goes, the chef will see you now.
And you didn't even throw around from the Chicago Tribune or anything, did you?
No, just...
I would have thrown that in there, but...
Actually...
But he didn't.
Well, actually, K. Paul was family-style seating.
Uh-huh.
And so it's first-come, first-serve kind of thing, even during this Republican convention. And there is the U.S. Secretary of Transportation pressing in the window, looking at us while we kind of delivered him a... salute,
right,
as it were.
Wow.
So
nice.
go back to the kitchen, and Prudhomme goes, so Yankee, you cook this stuff. And I said, chef, I gotta tell you, the flavors are fantastic, and it's flavors that nobody knows up north.
Right.
And he goes, well, let me see how much you know. And puts me into the apron.
Come on.
And he says, make me some roux.
Oh, now, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
well, see, that was the big test challenge.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, chef, and got all the stuff. And I said, now, what color do you want it?
Oh, nice.
And he goes, okay, Yankee, I think you get it. And, of course, he made me make dark roux, which is like molten lava,
sure,
if you spill it on your stuff.
Oh, like an hour later, you're
right.
Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yes. So, no. I'll take Nola as my you've never been?
It's beautiful.
Everyone yells at me.
You've never been?
Has it been in New Orleans?
I haven't either.
No, neither has.
Oh,
so
oh my God.
Go.
You guys.
You can't.
Go.
It's cool.
So, Cassara, have you been in New Orleans? Yes.
Yes, I have. I
all
went
right
for my birthday last year.
Can I tell you another quick story? They had a national convention of computer-assisted reporting down there,
mm-hmm,
and there was a guy who went... And every night he went to Fridays.
No.
Because that's all he knew.
Oh, I know people like that.
And it was like,
that's
yes,
so
because
maddening.
They know what they get.
I
but it's
know.
Like,
it's like going to France and going to McDonald's.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just...
That is tragic.
Not that is...
That's your journalism today, okay?
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
I, okay. And Cheryl has been very patient waiting to hear where she should go. Cheryl, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. I'm glad to be on your show.
Aw, thank you so much. What's your sign? What's your astrological sign?
Sagittarius.
Now, Cheryl, are you a hard worker? Because here it says that you get stuff done. That's not the word they use, but you get crap done. Huh? Do you get stuff done?
I usually do, yes.
So here's what it says. Sagittarius will need to take a step back this year and accept the universe's plan. With a need to slow down and hit the pause button, this sign will benefit from spending some time in Sedona, Arizona, a destination known for its beauty and tranquility. You can hike at Red Rock State Park, peruse the art galleries, and take advantage of Sedona's many spas that will give you the quiet dose of rejuvenation and spiritual healing that this year calls for. How's that sound, Cheryl?
Sounds wonderful, especially all the jewelry they have out that way.
So you're familiar. Sedona is fantastic. That's a beautiful part of the country. You've got to, if you get a chance, you must go to Sedona.
Well, I have to put it on my list.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Put it on your list. Have a good night, okay?
You too. Thanks a lot.
Of course.
Bye-bye.
Look forward to talking to you next time. So my sign actually is where my producer is tonight. Leo's should go. Not sorry, Cassara. Cassara's like, I'm sitting right here. I meant my traditional producer. My extraordinary
okay
producer this evening is Cassara.
I
bothered her.
Cassara's my producer.
That's
she
right
is extraordinary.
She is
okay
extraordinary.
I just want to put
you
that in.
Absolutely. I should be in Austin, Texas.
Absolutely.
I was just in Austin in December.
There in January.
Look at you. Everyone's been there. I've never been to Austin.
Oh,
okay,
my gosh.
Are you
Austin
kidding?
Is awesome.
Wow.
Oh.
There's so much yelling at me.
I'm sorry. We don't mean to. We just
no,
want
yell
you to have your best
yell
life.
No, because of your talent, you would absolutely enjoy.
Thank you.
Oh, it's such a cool place.
That's what I've heard.
And it's
great.
Warm.
Oh,
know,
that's helpful.
In the winter.
That's helpful.
Nice.
Austin really is the blueberry in the Texas apple pie.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That was very poetic.
Leos need to pay attention to their emotional well-being. with a priority on downtime and self-care. Well, I do that sometimes. While also keeping in mind Leo's need for vivacious experience, we can think of no better trip than to take to the Texas Capitol, a city known for its music, Tex-Mex food, and craft beer. Austin provides a balance of adventure and relaxation, which is exactly what the stars would prescribe for this year. To satisfy Leo's hunger for big experiences, no trip to Austin would be complete without trying local favorite Torchy's Tacos, hiking Mount...
Delicious.
Torchy's Tacos,
oh, delish.
Hiking Mount Bonnell, or visiting homes turned into bars.
Yes, there's a whole
Rainy Street.
There's a whole street called Rainy Street, where all of these homes were turned into bars. It's like these little like
houses,
ranch.
Just
yeah,
oh wow,
just these little homes.
I need to go.
And they each have a different feel type bar, and it's really cool.
As I feel like Esmeralda and I should take like a Thelma and Louise type trip to
but please
Austin.
Don't have it
right?
End that way.
Well, without the near rape or the gun violence
or the stealing money.
I mean,
there's a lot to
not drive off a cliff.
Yeah, there's
just the driving around.
You know, my favorite part of Thelma and Louise actually is that some people, you have to go back and watch the movie again before the violence starts, before their big adventure. They're in the bar, and there's a shot of one of them with a margarita, and every time they come behind the actress's back, the margarita magically refills itself. As someone who watches continuity in movies,
you're totally right.
The margarita keeps magically being full again, and when they shoot her from the front, it's empty, and then
does
it's
that
full.
Not happen to you?
No.
That happens to
no
me.
One refills
magic
your margarita?
It's the magic margarita in Thelma and Louise. I'll need you all
you're
to
totally
watch it.
Right, though. You're totally right.
It still bothers me to this day, and I saw it when it came out. I'm like, why is your drink full again? So that's
continuity.
Attentive bartenders.
That's right. I was like, somebody just came over the pitcher.
But your mom's tequila always gets refilled.
My mom's tequila? Do you know my mom only had her first shot tequila when she was like 78 years old? She never. My mom's from Mexico. She never drank straight tequila in her life.
I didn't buy that shot.
She has since. That,
okay.
She's been
okay.
since that night. She has had tequila, but her very first shot was when she was 78.
78 years
70,
old.
Yeah. So now I know why I waited so long. More after this on 720 WGN. The Factory Theater opens their newest production. It's the next big thing, and we have been delighted to have in studio with us the playwright Carrie J. Sullivan and director Robin Coffin to talk about this production. Again, so what are your big, what is opening night? I mean, I know that you had like sort of a media evening tonight, and then you're very laid back, Carrie. You're like, yes, that's happening. And Robin's like,
this is the first time I've ever directed a full length play.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm the total, like, I'm just the bouncy, excited little, like, sister in the back seat, like, tugging at her hair and stuff, and she's cool and calm and collected.
Well, I've opened a bunch of shows. I mean, it's 'cause I'm also managing director, right? And I have been for 11 years.
I like how it's on your watch. Is
yeah,
that where, is
I just
that
got a watch
track
for those of you who aren't...
The countdown watch? 11 years, 13 hours.
Oh, my God. So yeah, I mean, so for me, I mean, yes, it's my show, and it's very special and different, of course, but at the same time, you know, I give my love and attention to every single show that we open. So
right.
It is a little, for me, I'm like, yeah, it's real.
Be excited. Find the excitement. Live through Robin.
I'll be excited tomorrow, I promise.
All right.
She will.
Yeah. And the play runs through April 21st, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. Tickets are available at thefactorytheater.com. Tell me a little bit about the theater space. Like, how many seats are there? Robin?
For this particular show, 60.
Yeah. So this is
intimate. Normally seat around 72 to 75, and then for this particular show, with the set being situated the way it is and designed the way it is, we got 60 excellent seats.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this set is like nothing you've ever seen
in
your
really
life.
That's really great.
It's unbelievable.
Alan Donahue from Lifeline Theater designed it for us. He's
that's amazing.
He actually built a studio with a booth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really...
That's amazing.
That's lovely.
Yeah,
that's
it's cool.
Gorgeous. And this, again, follows the journey of a 19-year-old Beth Peterson, who wants to have a rock and roll career. She wants to follow her big dream and just shake off this small town. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for you guys. Are you going to have, do you have plans for, the first night party?
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been rehearsing? How long has the pre-production?
We started rehearsals
been?
January 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty quick for a...
Yeah.
Six weeks is our usual.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, we previewed last weekend, it was very well received.
Yeah.
And then we reworked some stuff, and we're ready to show people what we've got. We have an amazing cast.
The cast is outstanding.
Unbelievable.
Really spectacular.
Pinch us.
Do you have anybody in this production who has, maybe first time to the Factory Theater? Or are these all folks that you've been familiar with?
We have...
Most of them are new to Factory.
Really?
Most of them, yeah. We have one ensemble member, one actor that has... This is his third show with us, Nick Fried.
And Tim's Newell is his second.
Yes, second. And then everyone else is new to the Factory.
Yeah. Which is exciting. It's really great to have an opportunity to bring in brand new, faces and talent and just new vibe. So that's really cool.
That's
very
excellent.
Excited about that. Yeah.
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 Beautiful, beautiful group of people. They've done some amazing work. So funny.
What do you want people to know about the Factory Theater and the upcoming, the rest of the schedule, kind of the slate of productions you have?
I mean, really what I want people to know about the Factory is that we've been here and we've never gone away. This is our 25th season that we are right in the middle of. And, God willing, we'll be around for 25 more. Mm-hmm. We're a company that we tend to be genre-based, but we'll do anything and everything that brings us joy. And we put everything behind every single production. So the next show after mine is a show called Lame Town and the Adventures of Spirit Force 5. Which is basically The Lord of the Rings, but with cheerleaders.
Okay.
So,
sure.
There's that.
Mm-hmm.
That rounds out season 25.
So, we have to see any hobbit feet, is what you're saying? There's no hobbit feet?
I can't tell
who
you.
Who knows?
Okay. Yes, who knows?
You never know. There's a tree
hobbit
involved
palms.
That is... This is one of those shows that you're just going to kind of have to come and see it. So, it's kind of ridiculous. But it's also written by a woman, Jill Oliver, and it's also, I think, her first full-length play as well. So, this was a... This whole season has just been... it's really highlighting new voices and new talents in the Factory and as ever moving forward and doing new stories, wacky and crazy as they might be.
And Robin, is there anything you want people to know about this production in particular that maybe we didn't cover yet?
This is a very new way of telling theater for us. It's a little bit more of a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more of an intimate play than we have done before, I think.
Cool.
It's just a totally new thing. We have a very beautiful young lady playing music on stage and singing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. So we're doing a lot of new things for us. It's a very heartfelt, beautiful story, and I think it will surprise a lot of people that have seen our work before.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. And I'm so glad you have the steady work of working on Chicago Fire, mm-hmm. and also get to enjoy the theater work that you are doing.
Yeah.
By the way, again, Robin plays Cindy Herman on Chicago Fire, and we have to worry about your character. I think that it's Christian Stolte's wife that's in danger, isn't she? I feel like I saw some teaser somewhere.
Well, you never know.
And just say, are you in danger?
51.
Wait a minute.
I happening? I never know what's gonna happen. they're super like quiet about it. You only get the script when you're going to be on, so you don't get anything.
I played a nurse on three episodes.
I
was a nurse on the crossover night with Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, and Chicago Justice when the detective's daughter is. I was one of the nurses working on her when you know the crate kit. We had to practice crate kit. But I have to say,
solid.
The crew is amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
So many great people. There was actually a scene I did do with your TV husband when they were all in the waiting room, and I come out and tell everybody they got to go, visiting hours are over, whatever. And I have to say, they had been there. They've been on set since, I don't know, 6 in the morning, and this was the last shot, and my close-up was the last one, and I hit my mark 26 times in a row until it was my turn for the close-up, and I screwed the whole thing up, and, you could see everyone's face go, no, not the newbie on the set.
We're so close.
Quick
but
break.
But they get it.
Yeah, I know. They were very nice, and I got it the next take. I got it the next take. It was fine.